All right, here we are again. Amen. Those who are logging in, welcome to Out of the Box episode 9. I am always excited about this episode because God is speaking to each and every one of us with amazing testimonies and stories behind the scene of what God has done, all for his glory. And I know that this episode 9, we have titled it The Turnaround with our awesome guest, my son-in-law, amen, Douglas Damasceno, and it's going to be powerful. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes to log in, amen, invite a friend. Those who are watching through YouTube, thank you for subscribing and being part of Out of the Box 941. And I know that it's ministering to a lot of people. I'm getting a lot of messages, a lot of feedback on what God has been doing through these testimonies, impacting lives. And I'm so thrilled and just thankful for the Lord for listening to his voice, because to create such a platform to allow people to come and tell their story is amazing, because there are so many testimonies out there that many of us don't have the chance to hear that could empower us, that could lift us up, and that could help us grow in the kingdom. So I'm excited that just by listening to the voice of God, I was able to create this platform or this opportunity for those who come through, guests, friends, for a friendly conversation of what God has done in their lives. And today, the turnaround is going to be awesome, because I know there's a lot of people out there struggling in their faith, or they backslid, or something happened that forced them or caused them to shy away from the things of the Lord, or whatever may be the case. There could be moms out there, dads praying for their children. So right now I have awesome guest, amen, Douglas, come on, say hi to those who are listening right now.
Hey guys, thank you for having me on here. I am excited to be here. I know that you know, these episodes, like you said, are a blessing. I know I've been blessed by other episodes that I've watched myself. Hearing a testimony is always a powerful thing. You know, we all have our own stories, and being able to hear someone else's and hear about what God's done in someone's life, I think, is a powerful thing. So I'm excited to share my story, and I'm a little nervous. I'm not great behind the camera, but I'm going to do my best here today.
That's right. This is organic, and this is pure. This is not staged. This is not rehearsed. I don't even know half of your story, or maybe not even all of your story of how you, you know, became who you are right now in the things of the Lord and in the kingdom. So I'm going to learn some things today. So those who are watching, take some notes. Amen. And moms and dad, don't lose hope and don't lose faith. God is still working behind the scenes in your favor. So the first thing I want to ask you, amen, you know, how do you feel right now? Because you're so active in the Lord, in the church, in social, in media, and so many different things, even in the social media for the church.
So, I mean, it's a blessing, truly. I'm so happy to be where I'm at now, to be, like you said, active in my relationship with God, first and foremost, and then ministry now, to, you know, have been given the opportunity by you guys to serve at the church and, you know, just give God my time, show my appreciation awesome. Through service, you know, and it's just an amazing feeling to be walking in my faith, to have, you know, the Lord in my life, and to have the peace that comes with that. I mean, there's a lot I could say about where my life was at before and where it's at today. So,
amen. So that's what we want to hear. We want to know a little bit about you, because I know there's a story behind your journey to where you are now. A lot of people and a lot of us see, you know, the success, see victories, and see how great we're doing, but don't know the struggle to get to where we are now. Don't know the story behind, you know, the journey, amen, which was maybe painful, loneliness, all kinds of things may occur, you know, while we're trying to hear the voice of God or get redirected by God. So the turnaround is that I'm taking this episode. When I heard a little bit of your story, I said, you know what? Let's title this The Turnaround, because you're like the prodigal son, because one day you were in the kingdom. Your parents served the Lord, right?
Absolutely.
You know, they're active in church. Talk to me about a little bit about that, you know.
So, I mean, I definitely grew up in a family that, you know, a God-fearing father, God-fearing mother. My mom, I joke around, she's like a walking Bible encyclopedia, you know? Hey. I mean, as I grew up, it always used to amaze me, Mom, what's that verse about such and such? And, oh, that's in Matthew, you mm-hmm. know, this. So, I mean, she went to seminary. She
wow.
Studied theology, studied eschatology. I mean, a bunch of, you know, she's a well-studied, yeah. well-versed Christian who instilled that in me. My father as well, God-fearing man, wow. Served as a deacon most of my childhood in a few churches.
Still serving, right?
Still active. Yeah, both of them. So very, very much so believers and active in their faith. And, you know, those values were instilled in me. So growing up, I can't say that my parents, you know, didn't do right by me. They did. They
taught
me.
The God was in the home.
It was in the home. It was a part of our daily life.
And it's crazy to know these things that, you know, we could be doing all the right moves and in the home as a parent, you know, and instilling in our children the gospel and giving testimony and living out the word as best as possible. But there are choices that our children may take or make that we can't control, you know, that they might just go a different route and we just got to trust God. So I believe that's what happened. Given all this information you just gave right now, that your parents are deacons and serving and theologian in the word. And now, and what happened that you went astray?
So, I mean, it's, you know, it started in the teenage years. So like I said, they instilled the faith in me. We were always, you know, a church going family at home. My mom used to, you know, pray with me. My dad would come in and pray with me. And, you know, there was always like anything going on in life, the Lord was at the center, you know, look to the Lord. Let's read what the word has to say. So that was always instilled. But as I, you know, entered high school and not even at the beginning of high school, you know, as a freshman and as a sophomore, I was really known actually for being someone that adhered to the faith. You know, I actually, you know, people poked fun. I would occasionally carry my Bible to school and people were like, oh, Doug's a Bible thumper. But around my, I'd say my junior year, you know, I started. What's weird is when you go through these seasons, you know, me personally, I can't even pinpoint exactly where the drift, I would call it, started.
Where it went wrong.
Where it went wrong, exactly. So, but it did. I remember being around my junior year, you know, the temptation to just be a part of the worldly life, you know, to...
The struggle is real.
You know, just experiment, I guess you could say, in that lifestyle started growing on me and... It's, you know, there's a song I used to listen to by Casting Crowns. It's called, I forget what it's called, but there's a line. It says it's a slow fade. And I could relate to that so much because, I mean, it really was initially, you know, this really slow stepping away. And I started to question my faith. And it's like the enemy just that grew and grew. And
that's crazy that you said that because I was speaking to someone the other day and I was telling him the enemy is patient. He can wait. He can wait years, you know, to just putting seeds in there and trying to little by little divert you from your calling, from your purpose. And he will take his time to achieve his goal, you know. And it's crazy because sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. You're like, what just happened here? So that's what just you're explaining right now, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I actually wanted to reference a couple verses. So I was looking at some scripture and I can't, you know, I don't want to be that person that puts everything on the enemy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're individuals that make our decisions.
Yeah.
We make our choices. And, you know, in Genesis, there's a verse that says, you know, Genesis 4:7, it says, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master.
Wow.
And there's another verse in James that says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So in
my life,
you
gotta explain that a little bit.
You know, that's, I saw that. So like I said, you know, junior year in high school,
it just began to grow.
It starts growing, this temptation, you know, oh, you know, the friends are out partying. Oh, this is going on.
You know, not to cut you off, right? But you know, you knew the truth already. Your mom is the theologian. Your dad is a deacon. The word is in the home. So you're struggling with that. And there's the enemy, what you just read right now, just putting his thing in the middle.
You know, it's there. The temptation's there. We live in a fallen world. But like I said, I made my choices. You know, I started off, you know, oh, one party here. And, oh, you know, that was kind of fun. And what's crazy is what I realized is the more I started to step away and, you know, I began to live that lifestyle of wanting to live a worldly lifestyle and trying to find my satisfaction through that, you start to try to you know, reason with yourself and, oh, it's okay. Oh, it's just, you know,
kind of just justify it, try to make it look.
Yeah. Right. You know, you start to make excuses.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
You know, no big deal, but it's a slow fade. I mean, it starts with one little decision and then that grows. And, you know, it, like I said, you know, once sin is allowed to grow, it leads to death, and it can lead to physical death. But obviously scripture is also referring to spiritual death.
Right.
I mean, I got to a place where I hardened my heart, you know, I became cold. When I entered my college years,
not even lukewarm, cold.
No, cold. I mean, got to a place where when I entered my college years, I'll never forget, I took a philosophy class and an ethics class. And it's like those classes were the ammunition that I needed to convince myself that I was definitely okay. You know, those classes, you know, they attack the Christian faith. And I mean, just, oh, you know, the faith is wrong for this. Oh, look at this and this and this. And I bought into that. I mean, like, it gave me a reason to be like, oh, this is an intellectually sound decision. I could walk away from the Lord and feel good about it. Because look, all of this, you know, this
makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah. You know, pause that right there, because this is where a lot of the parents struggle, because we are looking for grants and we're looking to take out, and it's good to get educated. But before you send your kids to school, you better be doing your homework at home and make sure you guiding your children now in the things of the Lord. Instead of other sports and other things, make sure that they are sounded in the kingdom and have these roots, because when they get their hands on, you know, when these people in these colleges get their hands on it, they're going to indoctrinate them and try to make them fall, you know, flat on their feet, that the gospel is a lie, the kingdom is not true, that God is not alive, and all this thing, which is crazy, which you're a testimony about that.
For sure. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, though, when you want to believe something so bad, it becomes even easier. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
you
I had already chosen that lifestyle. I'd already walked away from the Lord. And now I had this professor that, you know, has got a PhD, and he's telling me this and this and this and this about the faith. And have you ever noticed this discrepancy? And, you know, things that now I've actually listened to apologetic videos. I've watched, you know, people explain these supposed contradictions. And they're just things where you have to know both sides of the equation, you know. And like you said, you have to prepare yourself. I don't think philosophy and ethics classes are all bad if you know what you're getting into.
Right.
If, like you said, you have a firm foundation, you know, you're going to, if you're still walking in the Lord. But for someone that was already, like I said, 1 foot out the door, if not really both feet out the door, then for me, it just solidified that decision to walk away from the faith.
Now, in that season that you were living, in those transitions, of fading away, what was happening in your home, like with your parents? Your mom spoke to you anything? Your dad, like, did they reach out? Did they, you know, did they tell you, "I'm praying for you, son"? What was going on there? The struggle and the battle, because you see this happening, and you know, you're doing your life, and they know what they sold into you, and then they see these fruits being manifested, which is contrary to what they deposit in you. What was happening there?
Oh, I mean,
anything you can share?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was breaking their heart for sure. You know, my mom and my dad, they would both approach me, "Son, you know, what are you doing? What are these decisions you're making? This isn't how we raised you. You know better." All things which, you know, were true, but I didn't make it easy on them. You know, I just looked, you know, there were various moments. I remember my dad went through a season where he was sick, and we were celebrating Christmas, and we were at a very close family friend's house, and he got sick during Christmas. And I looked at him and I said, "How could you serve the Lord and he's just letting you go through this? This is why I refuse to serve God. This is why I refuse to believe in God. God isn't real. He, you know, he wouldn't be allowing you to go through this. This is we're celebrating Christmas."
Yeah, so anything you saw there was like that gave me
ammunition to, like, you know, attack. I was on the attack, and I mean, I know I hurt them, you know, and it sucks looking back at it. You know, my mom always said, "Well, I'm praying for you. I'm not giving up." You know, my dad, you know, "I'm praying for you. We know you're going to come back to the Lord."
There goes the prodigal son right there.
You know, thank God I did, but I definitely put them through a rough season with that.
Wow. So what was the turnaround? You know, what began to happen that you began to walk back? Because I'm sure you didn't run back. Did you run back, or did you just walk back?
Did you jog back? Maybe a jog, maybe somewhere in between, you know. But the thing is, God really, you know, I wouldn't even say God. I mean, like I said, decisions. I made my own decisions, and you know, I was in a relationship that wasn't healthy prior to my marriage with Steph, and that relationship ended. And I got to a place in my life. And I mean, this season of being away from the Lord was 10 years. This was maybe almost 11. This was 18.
Over a decade.
Yeah, to 29. And I got to a place where I just, you know, I had had enough. I looked around and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? You know what I mean? This lifestyle that I had chosen was getting me nowhere. I didn't have any peace. You know, I was frustrated.
Wow.
I had gone through a bad divorce and, you know, my life was just, it felt like it was in pieces. And it took that desperate place, that, you know, place of being broken, to finally submit and turn back and seek the Lord. In, you know, after the divorce, I moved back in with my family. So at that point, I was in a season of life where I was just trying to figure out what's next. You know what I mean? This relationship didn't work out. The life decisions I've made haven't led to a good place. So what's next in life for me? And after the divorce, I didn't immediately seek the Lord. I'm not saying that it was like the divorce. And like you said, I ran back, moved back in with my family. The time I was coping in unhealthy ways. I was drinking heavily. I was, I mean, just not, still not anywhere near living a good life. And it just, I saw, you know, hey, this is not getting me anywhere. This lifestyle is, I feel empty. I have no peace. And I started to see, you know, like, I know the truth. You know, it's like I started to feel this tug of like, you know where you belong.
Yeah.
And
now, before you tell me what was the moment that the switch turned on, like, I really need to dive deep in the Lord. Now, for those who don't know you, maybe for those in our church, the outside church might say, you know, maybe Stephanie influenced that. Maybe he did it to be able to have a relationship with her. This happened before you met her.
Oh, prior.
Prior, right?
Stephanie started dating.
That's what I wanted to clarify, that in case somebody out there that knows you, or he went after the pastor's daughter, and then this happened.
No, not at all. So, like I said, there was definitely plenty of time in between that. Actually, when Steph and I first started talking, before we started dating, before I ever took her out on a date, and we were just talking as friends, we were catching up, you know, because we knew each other. When I was 18 years old, my first job was at Metro PCS, and that's where we met.
Yeah.
So we just started talking again as friends online, and it was a question when she was trying, I guess, to figure out where I was at in life. She said, we were having a conversation. She asked me what my biggest fear was. And I told her my biggest fear is not taking my relationship with God seriously or, you know, ever being far away from God again, because I saw where that led me. You know, I saw where my life had gone after that decision. So I had definitely already, you know, fixed aspect of my life well before ever.
That's good. That's good to know. And for those who are listening through a podcast that can't see us visually, Stephanie is my daughter. She's a worshiper at the church. Amen. So, and now they're married together, which is amazing. And I'm sure you had no idea that you were going to marry a daughter of a pastor, you know, and a worshiper. But before we get there, talk to me about the turning point. Talk to me what really kind of like trigger of like, I'm all in with the kingdom. Because that happened, right?
Yeah, that happened, but it was a slow decision. Like I said, I'd moved back in with my family and I was working with their business. My family owns a cleaning business and the days were long. I mean, my family was, when I was living with them and working, they were at the height of their business and thankfully they're still doing good, thank God. But what I'm getting at is we were having long days and I started to just try to find some Christian content on YouTube, and I found a page that I really enjoyed. I hadn't even really solidified my faith again, but I had started making steps towards that. And then through these long 8 to 10 hour work days, I would just consume this content. I just put it in, you know, and this was like Bible teachings. And, you know, this guy had like this guy I watch, he has a 20 question video. So he does like Q&As every week. And I would just listen to that. And it sparked an appreciation for God's word again in me. And slowly, you know, I started to pray more. I started to seek the Lord. I can't say that I had like one critical reconversion moment, but it was just something where I felt that pull and started.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful, you know? Because it's not a overnight fix. It's not a magic wand. It is God building a relationship with you. This is why you can come broken. You can come as you are. It's not going to happen overnight, but the more you get closer, the more you dive in, the more you open your heart to listen, to hear, to read, and allow God to marinate in your heart and begin to do the mighty works that no one else can do but God, that's when you begin to see the perfection, God perfecting you. He is the master. He puts you on the wheel of the potter's hands, you know, and begins to chisel and mold you to his purpose and his will. So it's awesome, because sometimes we do hear these testimonies. There was just a switch, like Justin Hart, overnight. But then there are others that gradually God begins to work in your life. And it's beautiful to see that in you as well, to testify that.
For sure. I mean, I think what I'm most grateful for today, and what led me, I think, back to the Lord, is I think when I grew up, you know, in the Christian household with my parents instilling those values in me, I had this mindset of, you know, I understood the gospel. I understood what the gospel was. I understood the message, but I feel like I never really understood the seriousness of the price that was paid,
wow,
you know, by Jesus, the necessity that we have for that. You know, I think growing up and growing up in that Christian family, I took it for granted. You know, there's an expression that says familiarity breeds contempt. And contempt just, you know, stands for a lack of respect, a lack of regard.
Come on,
and I
preach.
Think I reached a place where I had no regard for God, where I took God for granted. You know, it was just this thing that was introduced to me ever since I was a child. You need to believe in God. You need Jesus for your salvation. But having lived that life where I didn't have that relationship with God, where I saw my life fall apart, where I saw what sin does when you fully are engaged in that sinful lifestyle, the road doesn't lead anywhere nice. And, you know, I realized my need for God. I realized my need for grace, for Jesus as my representative, for God's intervention in my life. You know, I realized my dependence on God and my relationship with God nowadays. I have so much more appreciation for the sacrifice that was paid.
Wow.
You know, for my life and that's for all beautiful. Of our lives. So
what can you say to someone out there that is a mom or dad or parents, you know, even someone that's just struggling to reconnect and struggling to put to work what was sold into them, because either they rebelled or they just are chasing after other things and just don't see it or don't see themselves part of the kingdom. What can you recommend? Well, what can you say to them to encourage them to seek what you sought after? Because did it change your life? Did it help you?
Absolutely. I mean, my life is night and day. Like I said, I meant it. You know, when Steph asked, what's your worst fear? I would never want to live apart from the Lord again. And we go through seasons. You know, everybody's human. I think even as a believer, you can go through some ups and downs. But I would never want to live my life as a non-believer ever again. And for a parent, I would say, don't give up. You know, pray for your children. My mom and my dad would tell me continuously, you're coming back to the Lord. You're coming back to the Lord. We raised you to be a believer, and we have faith that, you know, the Lord will win you back eventually, and you'll find your way. And they kept praying for me. They did. Both of them, you know, they would fast for me. They would pray for me. So as a parent, I encourage any parent listening, despite what your children may say, you know, I proclaim to be an atheist, and here I am. I love the Lord. I'm grateful to be living a life in, you know, community with the Lord. So keep praying for your children. For a person who's struggling, you know, just identify what it is. You know, what is it that is separating you from the Lord? Because there's nothing that's going to bring you that satisfaction that having a good relationship with God brings. There's nothing that's going to give you peace like Jesus will. There's nothing that is going to fill that void. You know, there's the world promises a lot. You know, the world acts like sin is freedom, but sin is bondage. Sin is not freedom.
Wow, say that again.
You know, the world will represent it. You know, sin, and when you're in high school, as an adult, you know, hey, party, hey, you don't have the freedom to have a drink. You don't have the freedom to sleep with who you want. Sin is not freedom. Sin is bondage. And it leads to a messy life. It's not what God intended for us. You know what I mean? So just look at your life. Take an analysis, pray to God. You're never too far gone. You know, I think the enemy tries to shame us into believing that we're too far gone or that you can't repent and come back. And grace is waiting. You know, God is waiting. God never went anywhere. I did. So he was always there, ready to receive me back, ready to, you know, have Beautiful. Me in communion with him and have that relationship. So all it takes is a decision. You know, you don't have to, it's not an overnight fix. You know, for some people it can be, but if everybody goes through a process, just pray to God, seek him, listen to, you know, there's plenty of content nowadays.
So good.
You know, just seek God. Seek God, open your heart, and if you seek, you're going to
find.
Fine.
That's awesome, man. What a word. What a testimony. Hey, your mom just posted or shared it online. I always said God's going to find you. She said, yes, I she always did. Said God is yes, going did. To find you, and he did. Let me tell you, if you're out there, you know, and saying, nah, you know, or praying, mom saying he's just going deeper in the hole, God will always find your child. No one will be left behind. God will find them. God will chase after them. God will not, hallelujah, forsake you. He will do what he said he's going to do in your behalf. But just keep praying, keep fasting, keep believing, prophesy over your child, prophesy over their season, and tell them, you know what? They're not a drug addict. They're not an alcoholic. They're not, you know, somebody that's, you know, just going living the vida loca. They are a child of God, predestined for glory. They are preachers. They're evangelists. They are tech, you know, for the church, you know, and they are going to do what God said and not what the devil and the world has said. And we are, you are witness of that, you know, that God can turn it around for his glory. Amen. So that is awesome, you know. And and then God blesses you with a pastoral family. Can it get even better than that?
You guys,
that is crazy.
Seriously, this family has been a blessing, though. You know, like I said, I'm grateful for my family, for my mother, for my father, for always keeping me in their prayers, for always doing their best to steer me in the right direction, for, you know, fighting that spiritual warfare of never giving up on me. But you guys truly have been a blessing as well. You know, you guys directly, you, Pastora Glory, Stephanie, you know, biggest blessing that I'm grateful for. But TOC as a family, TOC as a church has been a blessing, you know, to be part of a community of believers, to, you know, the O groups recently, sharing your faith with other people, doing life together. Amen. It makes all the difference. So that's another thing, you know, if you're a believer that you feel like you got one foot in, one foot out, you know, instead of taking that decision to, you know, go out, put the other foot back in, get plugged in, find, you know, a group of believers that you can be comfortable around, that you can share with, and that you can do life with, and just walk the walk. You know what I mean? Be involved, stay in it. God's going to,
he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Like the word says, all things will work out for those who believe. He is a God of the turnaround.
Oh, yeah.
He is the God that would take what was lost, what looked like it was at the end, what looked like it was just destroy, defeat it, and make something better and greater that will glorify his name and give him all of the glory. And this is what we see in you. And we are so thankful for your life. And, you know, thank you for honoring our daughter, for taking care of her, you know, and just being that the compliment that she was looking for, that to become a power couple, a couple that are now focused not only in self, but in the entire family and the kingdom, putting God first in all things that you do. We see it here. There's a lot of things you guys do that other people don't see in the church. So we're grateful for your devotion, grateful for saying yes to the Lord. And not only yes, but yes to the ministry and just doing what you can to impact lives. And it is amazing to see what God is doing and how great you guys both are growing, especially with the old groups and other things that God is laying on your hands to glorify his name. So, hey, listen, all we can say is do not give up. Let God do it. He's going to do it no matter how far they go, no matter how astray they have gone. He's the God of what is impossible. He makes it possible.
He can turn it around for your good.
Amen.
You know, I had said I felt like life was in pieces. God took all the pieces and created a new life for me. Once I submitted to his will, once I sought him and, you know, put him as a priority in my life, it happened naturally. You know, things took their course. Me and Stephanie reconnected. We're married now. You know, we have a daughter that we're expecting.
Let's go.
I'm so happy for that. You know, so
another
grandchild. God took the mess and turned it around. And really just, I'm so grateful for the life I have today and for being back in communion with God. And he really can turn it around, guys. So seek
Amen.
Him. And
so can you say a quick prayer, look at that camera and say a prayer for those who are really right now saying, man, I pray that this happens to my son or my daughter. It's been years, and you said a decade. You cannot lose hope. You know, this. Don't count the years, because like a thousand years is like one day for the Lord. One day is like 1,000 years. So what? They've been lost for 10 days? You know, even less than that, a couple of hours in the eyes of the Lord. So keep the hope alive. Prophesy over their life. They will be what God said they're going to be, what Amen. God promised you. Amen. The seeds you planted in them will give fruit in the name of Jesus. So do a prayer for them right now.
Amen. Lord, we seek you today, Lord. We pray that you take into your hands, Lord, all of the families that may be struggling with a family member that's lost, Lord. All the individuals that may be struggling with their faith, Lord. We ask that you do a work in their lives, Lord, that you touch their hearts, Lord, to anyone with a child that has walked away from the Lord or that is struggling. I ask that you give those parents strength, Lord, that you may strengthen them, give them hope, give them peace in knowing that their children's lives are in your hands and that you know the future, you know, despite how they may be feeling in the moment. Give them assurance that you are in control, Lord, and just that they continue seeking after you, praying for their children and not giving up, you know, testifying to their children. To any individuals that may be struggling with their faith, Lord, I ask that, you know, the Holy Spirit may touch their hearts, that you may have an encounter with them and that they may be open to an encounter with you, Lord, that their lives may be turned around, Lord, that they may be restored in their faith and that they may seek you and submit to your will, Lord, because having you in our lives, Lord, it makes all the difference. And I ask that you just seek those who need to be sought after, that you find them, Lord, and that you welcome them back with open arms when they make that decision to also seek you and open their hearts to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. There you have it. Amen. Episode 9, amen. The turnaround with Douglas Damasceno for the glory of God. I hope and pray that this episode as well has been a blessing to your life. Listen, God is doing mighty works. Share this live stream, share the links, share the YouTube, whatever you can do to spread the good news of that God is still working. God is not dead. He's still doing great and mighty work. There are many, many testimonies out there, but sometimes they don't have a platform to share them. And we have created this platform to share those testimonies. I had a feeling that, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit. I'm hoping it was the Holy Spirit that while I was driving here, that was telling me, do it. And I'm going to just do it because I like to flow like that. But I feel in my spirit that episode 10 should be a random person that will message me on IG or Facebook, find a way to send me a nutshell of your testimony, and I want to have you here on Monday. The one that God puts in my spirit that needs to share their story, their testimony, I'm going to hit you up and have you come in and share your testimony next Monday, which will be number 10. You know, if you feel that you have something, you know, that just a diamond in the rough, that God did something great in your life, man, this is the place that people will be impacted by your story. God wants to hear it. God wants you to share it for other people to hear it for his glory. So like I said, share it, give me a little bit of it so I can know what it is, so I can choose that person while I pray, so I can have you here. Amen. If you don't show up, I'm just going to speak a word. Amen. I'm just going to speak a word. But I know there's someone out there that God wants to have here. Absolutely. For episode 10 for the glory of God. So I created this space for you. So let me see what you're going to do with it. You know, I know God is talking to you already. So, hey, amen. God bless you. Hey, thank Douglas. You. And thank you so much for being part of episode 9. It was amazing. I know it has impacted many people. Hey, it's also going to be on podcast. So, hey, also subscribe to Out of the Box 941, Out of the Box 941, and be part of what God is doing. Thank you so much, and God bless you. See you next Monday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Peace out.